Hello, this is Ken Smith welcoming you to our Bringing a Message radio programme, brought to you by the By All Means Gospel Trust from Solihull, England. Series Ignorance of Spiritual Truths, we are today looking at ignorance of the scripture and the power of God. We need to know what God is saying to us in the Bible. This message is based on Matthew chapter 22. Maurice Payne is the speaker. Hilary is reading the scriptures and giving the closing announcement. Music is by Peter Jackson and singers. If this program is a blessing to you, we would like to hear from you. Stay tuned for today's message.
Today, we're looking at ignorance of the scriptures and the power of God. Listen now to this verse, Jesus speaking from Matthew chapter 22, verse 29.
You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God.
Jesus was referring to the error the Sadducees displayed about the resurrection. And I suppose this talk could be entitled Ignorance About the Resurrection. Denying the truth of the resurrection is but one of many errors that arise through ignorance of what the scripture teaches. So we'll use this incident from the Gospels when the Sadducees came to Jesus to enlarge upon ignorance of the scriptures. The Sadducees were a religious sect found among the Jews before and around the time of Christ. Some think they trace their roots to Zadok the priest, and that they were particularly associated with the high priest and the conduct of business in the temple. About the persecution of apostles recorded in the book of Acts, we read,
"The high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees."
The Sadducees differed profoundly from the Pharisees in their denial of the resurrection, and they professed to lay special emphasis upon the book of the law as found in Leviticus. And it was these who came to Jesus after the Pharisees had been trying to trap him about giving tribute to Caesar, and they sought to ridicule the truth of there being a resurrection. They cited the instance of a woman who was widowed six times, having married each of her first husband's brothers in turn.
That same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. "Teacher," they said, "Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and have children for him. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died, and since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and third brother, right on down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her?" Jesus replied, "You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God."
They asked, whose wife should she be at the resurrection, attempting by this question to show the futility of there being a resurrection at all. It was really a frivolous objection and didn't go to the heart of the subject, and may have merely sought to provide amusement and to see how Jesus would answer. Under the law, a woman was always the wife of her first husband. The Sadducees may have been looking to discredit Jesus if he contradicted Moses' law, though the gracious way that Jesus answered them suggests that they genuinely saw this matter of a widow who remarried as a problem. Jesus' answer contrasts sharply with his reply to the Pharisees a few verses earlier when he said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me?" To the Sadducees, Jesus said,
"You are in error because you do not know the scriptures."
They were familiar with the fact of the Old Testament scriptures, but not its truth and application. To the facts, as they read them, they applied human reasoning. And it was for this reason that, besides ignorance of the scriptures, Jesus added, and ignorance of the power of God. The Bible, read and studied without guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, can leave the reader ignorant of the truth. Jesus answered them in a straightforward and simple way, and so silenced them to the astonishment of the crowd. He said that in heaven people neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels. There's no propagation of the race there, or need of marriage bond as we know it on earth. Resurrection life does not depend on marital relationship. And this statement knocked down their argument straight away. When there is no seeking after inspired revelation by the readers of the scripture, human reason allows for imagination in the conceived state of what it would be like in heaven. Even with correct interpretation, imagination can easily build upon the true foundation. And perhaps the best example of this is the different pictures we all have in our mind of heaven and the future state of believers there. I don't think heaven is a repeat of earth, you know. And earth's problems won't exist there. This is why the human mind cannot conceive the wonder of heaven. However, the regenerated heart finds our Lord's description of heaven in parable and teaching to be nothing less than wonderful. The importance of Jesus' words to these Sadducees may be taken from the fact that this incident is recorded in 3 of the 4 Gospels. God has given us his written word, given it to every generation since Moses, and as the pages of history have unfolded, so has the compass of his word, so that today we recognize the Bible as the canon of Scripture. It is more than an historical record. It is the word of the Lord by which he speaks to those who read it. Many writers have contributed to its 66 books. But behind and in it all, we see the Spirit of God providing for the need of man. Like treasure hidden in a mine, we need to dig for it. And we should read it in a spirit of expectancy and with a listening ear for what the Spirit would say to us. Our prayer does well to take the words written in the Psalms.
Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law.
The Sadducees reckoned to have studied the law in detail, but they'd missed these wonderful things. In what is a lengthy reply to the Jews who persecuted him because he'd healed the cripple at the pool Bethesda on the Sabbath day, Jesus said to the Pharisees that they should diligently study the scriptures to find that they testify about him. Such searching is never in vain, for Christ can be found in the scriptures wherever the seeking soul looks. You'll recall that In his conversation with the two dejected disciples on the road to Emmaus, later on in the day of resurrection, we read that,
beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself.
What a study that must have been that Jesus gave to these two disciples. Thank God that he comes still with the peace and calm today. And it is one that we can expect in our lives as we seek the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said,
when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth.
It is by a revelation of the Spirit that we see in the scriptures how we may possess eternal life. Now, this is more than a passive assent to what we recognise the Bible to be. It is a diligent reading, learning, and applying the truth to each one of our lives. To say that you believe the scriptures and yet not to read the pages of it is an anomaly. From the cradle to the grave, the children of the Lord should be exposed to the word of the Lord. It's not enough to teach or be taught the facts of scripture. Each one of us needs to meet Jesus, who is the living Lord found in the scriptures. The pastor, leader, Sunday school teacher who tells the story of the book must also introduce its hearers to the author. Like the Sadducees, whose words to Jesus we are studying, many come in contact with the scripture and may be influenced by what they read, and yet can be described as ignorant of the scriptures and the power of God in their lives. The Bible speaks of itself, you know, when it says,
all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
And just as this is applied to the scriptures as they existed in Paul's day, so the greater volume of scripture that we have applies to us today. In his letters to Timothy, Paul repeatedly emphasized Timothy's need to uphold the scripture. A knowledge of the scriptures thoroughly equips the follower of Jesus to every good work. That's 2 Timothy 3:17. It is that he might teach the scriptures that Paul urged Timothy, his son, to be diligent in the faith. Listen to what he writes.
Command and teach these things. Do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Keep reminding them of these things. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction.
Familiarizing yourself with the content of Scripture and waiting upon the Lord for its meaning to you calls for patient reading and seeking, but it reaps a rich reward. Now, Jesus' warning to the Sadducees was that they were ignorant of the scriptures and the power of God. It's God's power that makes the word live and act for the reader. Right at the beginning of the Bible, we read that the Spirit of God was hovering over or moved upon the waters. That same Spirit is ready to illumine the page for the reader and empower him or her to do what the Bible says. Every detail in the Mosaic law was known to the Sadducees, but the power of God in that law was absent from their lives. What can the scripture do? Well, familiarity with the scriptures and the power of God convicts the sinner and points to the Saviour. It avoids wrong teaching. It gives wherewithal to resist the devil. It comforts the believer and strengthens his faith. Familiarity with the scriptures and the power of God gives detailed instruction in the Christian pathway, and it prophesies of future events and God's plan for his kingdom. Now look at the particular error that seems to have beset the Sadducees. They did not believe there was a resurrection. In this they were diametrically opposed to the Pharisees. From details given concerning Paul's appearance before the Sanhedrin recorded in the book of Acts, we are told that neither did the Sadducees believe in angels nor spirits. One is made to wonder what they did believe and how they could claim to be associated with the temple office and have such a following. If they took their belief from the Pentateuch, we wonder what they made of the angels that dragged Lot out of Sodom, and of the angels that appeared to Jacob in his dream, and later the angel with whom he wrestled as he prepared to meet Esau on his return to his own country. Well, did Jesus say, these men knew neither the scriptures nor the power of God, and they're typical of so many, who form radical beliefs from one or two concepts of what the scriptures say and ignore any and all others that point to the contrary. The way Jesus dealt with these inquirers suggests that he wanted to make clear the truth of the resurrection and to show it to be something that affects us all. In his reply to them, Jesus takes his proof of the resurrection from the lives of the patriarchs. There are verses in the Old Testament that might, at first sight, seem to support the idea of there being no resurrection, but they need to be taken right out of context to do this. The Old Testament clearly assumes the fact of the resurrection. Prominent among the Old Testament believers in the resurrection is the psalmist. Listen to what he said.
You will not abandon me to the grave.
And he speaks of
eternal pleasures at God's right hand.
The Apostle Peter quoted these verses in his sermon on the day of Pentecost. Now the prophet Daniel. Listen to what the prophet Daniel wrote.
Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt.
And the oldest of the prophets, Job. Listen to what he said.
After my skin has been destroyed, in my flesh I will see God.
And some of you may know Ezekiel's vision of dry bones, and that can only be interpreted in the sense of the dead coming to life. And Hosea prophesied, I will redeem them from death. Jesus not only refuted the teaching of the Sadducees regarding no resurrection in his life and ministry, he demonstrated the power of the resurrection. His miracles demonstrated the reality of dead being raised to life, whether restoring life to a limb, as happened in the man with the withered hand, or the whole life resuscitated, as in Jairus' 12-year-old daughter. And as if to emphasize the reality of life from the dead, Jesus let Lazarus lie 4 days in the grave before raising him, with the command, Lazarus, come out. These miracles authenticated Jesus' teaching when he said,
I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live.
Jesus' reply to these Sadducees about their error gave three truths about the resurrection life that neither we nor they should miss. First of all, resurrection life is not like earthly life. Many of the restrictions and lines we apply to life on earth will have no counterpart in heaven. Because we are earthbound, we can only vaguely conceive what life in heaven is like. Marriage and earthly relationships will not exist there. That family will be a heavenly family, the family of God, made up of blood-bought believers. The blood of Jesus shed on Calvary's cross, cleansing them from sin. The sadness here when members of our earthly family do not respond to the claims of the gospel when we witness to them, and we need to continue instant in prayer for their salvation. But there'll be no sadness in heaven. The heavenly family of God will be perfect and complete, just as the Lord wants to make it. And what goes for marriage will also apply to many other aspects of earthly life. I can tell you this, heaven will be wonderful. And then secondly, because we cannot now conceive what heaven is like, doesn't mean we shall not experience it. You can't imagine what it was like is an expression we use to tell someone of what happened to us when we know the listener won't really understand what we say. Now it's the same about the resurrection. You can't imagine how wonderful it will be. Human senses are too dull. As the Apostle Paul described with the words,
"No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him."
The word of God and the history of God's people has so many promises fulfilled that we can believe the word of Jesus when he tells us about the resurrection. So first, resurrection isn't like earthly life, but that doesn't stop us from experiencing the blessing of it. And the resurrection, thirdly, is God's undertaking. The Lord will do it. This really goes without saying, but needs to be recognized. You see, the Sadducees didn't recognize the power of God. And so to them, the resurrection was an impossibility. They didn't know, as happened on the resurrection morning, that God could roll the stone away from the tomb and that Jesus could rise again. Our reading and searching the scriptures will lead us to faith in them as God's word and enable us to look beyond the grave to that state of eternal bliss promised to all who love Christ's second coming. Now, Jesus said, "Watch out so that no one deceives you." That's Matthew 24, verse 4. Such deceit will only be avoided by familiarity with and faith in the scriptures. The Sadducees stumbled over the state of a woman in this life who had seven husbands. Jesus pointed them to the truth they had missed, namely, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a living God. He's a God of the living, not of the dead. Refusing to believe in God's word will not make its truth and responsibility go away. For example, God's word says,
"We will all stand before God's judgment seat."
The resurrection will be a separation of sheep from the goats, as Jesus described. And we need to realize a day is coming when we will be asked to answer for the lives we've lived. The scriptures have been inspired and given to us that we may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing we might have life in his name. The Bible is a living book, and it imparts a living faith to a living experience of salvation in Jesus. Reading the scriptures with a seeking heart will reveal to us God's great provision of salvation through the merit of the blood of Jesus. Calling upon him in true repentance gives the blessed experience of forgiveness, peace with God, and purpose and aim in our daily life. And as you listen today, if you've not done so, you need to reach out in trust. You need to see that Jesus can save you. Come before him in penitence and ask him to save you, and reach out in faith and receive the assurance of that salvation. When we partake of this great salvation and are cleansed from our sin, we can come before God in praise and prayer. In the scriptures, the mind of God is conveyed to the heart of man. The written word is tangible evidence of the living word. We must read the scriptures if we would grow and mature in Christ. No Christian can afford to neglect the reading of the scriptures. Familiarity with the scriptures gives us a life immersed in them, a life that is pleasing to God and of maximum benefit to our fellow men. Knowing the scriptures is the best prevention against error. It's the best and only effective tool with which to counter the devil. Now then, let it never be said of you that you don't know the scriptures.
The Bringing a Message program you have just heard is produced by the By All Means Gospel Trust, based in the United Kingdom. We are always pleased to hear from our listeners, and there are several ways you can contact us. You can write to us at BAM Gospel Trust, P.O. Box 986, Bourne, B-O-U-R-N, Cambridge, CB23, 2YX. You can email us info@bringingamessage.org, or you can use the response form on our website's contact page. To hear this program again or to find out more about the Trust's work and publications, go to our website www.bringingamessage.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. One of our publications is called Break and Meditate. This contains short comments on a verse from the Bible, one for each day. This is available free either as a booklet mailed every 2 months or as a file emailed monthly. The reading for the day is also available on the Read page of our website. BAM also produce Bible study books and booklets. One booklet is produced every 2 months, and several earlier series are available from our website, where you will also find details of all available publications. The work of BAM is supported by donations. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, why not use the secure CAF donate form on our website's support page? And now join Peter Jackson and Singers as they sing, Be My Lord as I kneel to bless you, Be My Lord when I should confess you, In the church and in the world, glorify your name.
Be my Lord as I kneel.
Thank you for joining us today. Listen at the same time next week. Until then, this is Ken Smith saying goodbye, and may God richly bless you.